Hey, welcome to the stream. I'm Josh Rushing, filling in today for Film Me OK. Could the death of Queen Elizabeth II be the beginning of the end for the British monarchy? While the institution remains popular in the country, more Britons are thinking about what the monarchy and a ceremonial head of state actually mean for the UK. Here, take a listen to this protester outside the British Parliament in London.
The principle of hereditary power, I think, is absolutely abhorrent in 2022. You can't have any philosophical or moral justification for one family having political power like that just by virtue of their birth. That's the fundamental issue. If they're symbolic, then there's no point having them. If they have political power, then they shouldn't be there. So you can't kind of have it both ways. I mean, they get paid enormous amounts of money, millions and millions and millions. It costs hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds to run the royal family, and I just don't see why the people of this country should pay for that.
All right, so that's one person's opinion, but what's yours? Share your questions, your comments about the monarchy right here in the YouTube chat and be a part of this show with me. All right, here with us to talk about the future of the monarchy in London is Philip Blond, a political philosopher and director of the think tank ResPublica. And then also with us, Shola Mas Shoak Bamimu. She's an activist and author of This Is Why I Resist, and Paul Poundsland, a lawyer and activist based in London. Welcome all. Philip, let's begin with you. It's 2022. Why do we need a monarchy?
Well, I think the evidence is very strong. Monarchy secures democracy. It prevents the slide to extremism. The Economist Democracy Index has a majority of countries in its top index over the last 30, 40 years have been constitutional monarchies. Republics are more unstable, more dangerous. Compare the Republic of Syria with Jordan. Compare the Republic of Algeria with the Kingdom of Morocco. And all of the criticisms of monarchy are factually incorrect in the sense that all the academic research shows that the countries with monarchies tend to be more democratic, more egalitarian, less prone to extremism, higher degrees of social capital and social trust, and essentially police out the extremists in the society and help foster consensus because they create a national poll.
Okay, wait.
Above politics.
Shola, you can't hold it back anymore. Shola, jump in.
I'm listening to you. I'm thinking, I'm sorry, are you living in an alternate universe? In what world is the monarchy the symbol or tool to secure democracy and prevent extremism? You and I live in the United Kingdom. Far-right extremism is thriving in this country. In fact, the monarchy is very
antithesis.
Hold up a second. I actually listened to what you were saying for a good, much longer than I could have even stomached. So maybe just listen, you might actually learn something. Right. The monarchy symbolizes the entrenched inequalities in this country. Wealth, class, privilege, race, so much more. And let me just point to what the protester said earlier. If they're only symbolic, what is the point of them? But we know they're not just symbolic. They actually have power. The monarch has political power. He's a political head of state. And they play a diplomatic role. They use their power to be able to secure exemptions for themselves, like Queen Elizabeth did in securing exemptions from race discrimination laws, sex discrimination laws, and so many other things. So what you say makes no sense whatsoever. The monarchy is so far above the very people that they're meant to serve. There is no transparency. There's no accountability when it comes to the monarchy. That is the very opposite of what democracy is about. So I do not understand what the heck you're talking about.
Hey, let me bring in someone from our community here. Her name is Bethan Saeed. She's a Welsh activist, and she wants to talk about not what the monarchy represents, but maybe what it doesn't represent. Here, roll tape.
In terms of what the British monarchy stands for, I think we should say, well, what doesn't it stand for? And it doesn't stand for equality. It doesn't stand for fairness. And it certainly doesn't represent the democracy that I want. I don't think that anybody should be born into privilege to rule over us. At the end of the day, we are the subjects of the royal family, and that's not a symbol of equality. And for the future of Wales, I think, well, that's up for discussion, isn't it? Do we want to have a royal family? Do we want to see the monarchy rule over us in the future?
Hey, Paul, I want to bring up a tweet that you recently shared. It's a photo of you holding a sign that says, "Not my king." I know you just heard Bethan say what the monarchy does not stand for. What's your take on that?
Well, I originally held that sign up because there were signs that the police were cracking down on peaceful free expression and protest. And I wanted to challenge that. And actually, I really fundamentally believe that the beautiful and complex web of freedoms and rights and civil liberties that we've built up over centuries is actually as precious, if not more precious, than the monarchy, and needs to be retained. And we need to be able to critique the monarchy. But more than that, I actually think it's worth going back to what the lady from Wales said. The monarchy is not just about the inequality that itself represents. It also holds up and buttresses all the other forms of inequality we have in our society. So, for instance, the fact that we still have hereditary peers in our legislature voting purely because of who their ancestors are. We still have one of the most unequal forms of land ownership in the world, and most British people can only access 8% of our land. And the sheer fact that one old lady gets to live in complete luxury and other old ladies starve and freeze to death in their homes, to me, just gives the wrong basis and starting point for who we want to be as a country.
I totally agree with that statement because, I mean, look at the ridiculousness of the situation we're in. Right now, the United Kingdom is in one of the worst cost of living crises we've seen in recent history, okay? There are people who literally cannot eat or heat. But yet, this country is going to have to spend millions to bury the Queen, who is worth, her personal worth is about $500 million, as I understand it. And the worth of the royal family is in the billions, is well over $28 billion. No, why are people, having to pay when her own estate can pay for a funeral? We pay for our own funeral. Even if we had to pay a fraction of it, that maybe might make sense because it's a state funeral. But for us to foot the entire bill, when we are talking about exorbitant energy prices, food inflation went up last month about 12.4%. It is ridiculous.
Hey, I want to bring in some voices from our YouTube community, Philip, and then I'll let you respond, okay? But a lot of them are saying similar things to what Shola is just saying. So this is Shreya Roshani is saying, as someone living in the UK, all they do is feed off taxpayers' money whilst people are starving and dying homeless. Can't believe they receive welfare. Someone else says, so what did King Charles, Queen Elizabeth, and the future King William do for the country that they deserve that position? That person was Moonlight. Philip, why don't you take a shot at those?
Yeah, look, this is an incredibly unreflective and unsophisticated series of hysterical remarks. If you're worried about inequality, look at the United States. The United States isn't a monarchy. It's a republic, and it has the highest levels of inequality in the developed world. If you want to look at a peer comparison, look at the monarchical state across the border in Canada. The historical and economic indices are out there for you to confront. Only a quarter of the world's states are monarchies, yet they constitute the majority of countries in democracy index, in accountability index, in wealth indexes, and in the most egalitarian index. The number one country in the world that meets those criteria is Norway, which is a monarchy.
But
so if you actually want to...
I think we might use citation on cause and effect.
The real world.
Yeah, that's my question,
about
correlation and causation.
Yeah,
what is the actual causation here, Philip? What's your argument for how they actually make it more egalitarian?
Because what a monarch does is a monarch has to create consensus. And if you look at the great killing events in world history, They're always where monarchy passes into a republic. Think of Russia, think of Weimar Germany, think of the Bolsheviks compared to the Tsar. The Tsar wasn't perfect, but the Bolsheviks were masters in killing. Think of the overthrow of the Bourbon monarchy.
I'm sorry, what you're saying is making no sense whatsoever.
Mass killing to Europe.
So I'm sorry, you're exactly
many of our largest republics lies in mass murder. What monarchs do is they foster consensus.
We need to dip this in the bud.
They have to speak to a good beyond all ideology. All we have from the other presenters is fake little non-real ideological takes that aren't reflective of the reality out there, which is monarchies support equality. You need a
how does the fact that the British state had concentration camps in Kenya under Queen Elizabeth's reign fit into that argument, Philip? How do you fit the Mau Mau concentration camps into that argument?
Thank you.
Well, the way you fit, just as you would say that not every American is responsible for Trump, so you would say that not every historical figure is responsible for what happened in history.
If you you're saying she creates consensus, but clearly not the people who suffered in Kenya.
To engender the ending of slavery, for instance, the Victorian period saw Christians.
All right, let me jump in, guys. Let me jump in for just a second. I'm wondering how much of this. Philip, it seems like you're looking to the past, and I wonder how much of this is a generational thing. I want to show my computer here for just a second. We have a poll from YouGov that shows support for the monarchy is much higher for people who are older and much less for people who are younger. And I wonder if people who are older might be looking to the past and people who are younger are looking at their futures and wondering what role the monarchy has in it.
Those results were the same 20 or 30 years ago. What happens is people get more monarchical as they get older and wiser. And so the future for the monarchy is very rosy. In Australia, support for the monarchy is 50% and rising. So what we're seeing is the world is falling apart because extreme partisan ideology is taking over the state.
Lisa, I need to speak.
Republics are failing and are on the brink of extremism because there is no figure of consensus that can form a common pole. That is the role that monarchs perform. And monarchs
were non-political. I thought they were non-political. So do they form consensus or don't they?
You are contradicting yourself. Your entire narrative is a contradiction in terms. You can't say that it is simply symbolic and then claim that what they do is to create consensus. The monarchy has never created consensus.
Nothing is simply symbolic.
You know what? I took the time to listen to your diatribe. You will listen to me. And let us be very clear. The monarchy has not shown any example whatsoever of supporting equality. It has not done that by its actions. It doesn't represent that. In fact, if it had to represent equality, that would be entirely radical.
You
might learn something, Philip.
Hold on, Philip.
To the examples given earlier, when we talked about the Mau Mau was given as an example, you then said, well, all historical figures cannot be blamed. Listen, make up your mind. It's either
the monarchy
is so great and that they can be looked at as a symbol of greatness, and they are equally responsible when atrocities are committed in their name. You can choose.
There's one specific example we had to come back on.
Philip
specifically mentioned the ending of the slave trade earlier and somehow managed tried to ascribe that to the monarchy. It's completely historically illiterate. William the Fourth, William the Fourth, when he was the Duke of Clarence, so one of our previous kings, was one of the main opponents of the abolition of the slave trade in the House of Lords in the 1790s. His actions led directly to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in the slave trade because he opposed it. It wasn't the state doing it. He personally did it, and he was on the throne, one king removed from Queen Victoria.
Hold on.
Was he a positive influence?
Hey, guys, I want to bring in our online community here, and we have some comments. And, I lost it now. Where is it? It says this is disingenuous. This is. But what I want to do is I want to talk about the empire and the colonies, and I want to hear from someone out in the colonies. And so I want to bring in Byron Siliboy, who is an Indigenous activist from Canada. Let's hear his point of view. He sent us a comment for this.
Indigenous peoples here in Canada have a long and complicated history with the monarch. But to me, what they mean is, the ongoing genocide and colonialism that's still happening here in Canada. So their relevancy, especially here in 2022, is antiquated. And they need to examine what their role was in colonialism. They need to apologize to Indigenous peoples all around the world for what they've done in the name of their crown.
Okay, so Canada's a commonwealth. We're talking about former colonies. Here's a YouTube comment from Samuka Kawa. I am a Sierra Leonean, which is a former British colony. I think the monarchy should be abolished with all of its wealth shared among the nations they colonized as reparation. Someone want to talk about reparations?
Oh, it's about time we talk about reparations. Absolutely, yes.
Go for it.
And reparations is justice. It's one of the things that the monarchy has failed to do. The Queen Elizabeth II, in her 70 years, failed to confront the colonial past and the post-colonization period in which the playbook of the British Empire continued to be executed, all under the guise of modernization and commonwealth. But we all know that there's nothing common about the wealth of the commonwealth. So yeah, I do agree that reparatory justice is absolutely required. Reconciliation cannot happen without the apology, and that has to be a state apology, and I think as political head of state, that is what the monarchy should be doing, and they should be leading on that. And people have to understand that the monarchy doesn't just, this is not just about the past, it's about the present. What the monarchy has done is to continue to symbolize systemic racism and anti-blackness. So when we talk about reparatory justice, when we talk about reconciliation, when we talk about apologies and how this still impacts the lived experiences of black and ethnic minorities today, this goes back to the monarchy, and it also requires that the monarchy does the needful, which is for them to step up to the plate, take responsibility, apologize, act on reparatory justice, and to lead on reconciliation.
We have a bit of sound from Maria Hernandez in Jamaica. I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to pose a question for you, Paul.
I think he's a little bit too old for the profession, but who am I to judge? I have no say in this matter. What I do like about Charles is that he has always been an environmentalist, and I'm an environmentalist, and I know he will always push for the environment.
So I want to shift the conversation more forward and talk a little bit about King Charles and what we could or should see from him. She mentioned that she thinks he's an environmentalist and she'd like to see him be more active on that. Could or should he be more active in the politics of the nation? Paul.
Well, I mean, I think the argument from pro-monarchists is that he can't, because the monarchy is supposed to be a non-political interfering institution. And so even though he might personally believe in pro-environmental policies, that isn't going to have a wider effect on our politics. I think there's a really important point here, maybe to try and create some common ground between some of the voices today and put forward a positive vision. I do think there is a thing that the monarchy is blocking more in-depth thought about actually truly what makes this country great, what makes these lands great, and what we want to celebrate as a country. Because we put so much store onto this random hereditary family, we don't actually think about things that I personally think are more important. And over the last couple of weeks, I've actually realised that although I'm not a monarchist, I do love these lands. I love these lands intensely. I love their rivers. I love the trees here. I love the people, for better or worse, that I share this island with. And I do think that we actually, by putting these people on a pedestal, we don't actually protect things that I think are far more important, like our trees and rivers. And also, we don't truly celebrate what it actually, who in Britain does amazing things, not because they were born to a random person, but because they've given their life and their soul and their intelligence to helping others, to furthering humanity and to making this country great. And I would much rather celebrate those people than some random hereditary king descended from a princely family that is younger than oak trees that I've taken care of in these islands, that is significantly younger than yew trees that live on this, that exist on this island. Do you know? Who are, we can do better. We can do better.
Philip, what actually changes if the monarchy just goes away? How would the nation be any different?
I think that you will see a society that will become more American in the pejorative sense, more polarized, incipient levels of civil war and conflict. And once again...
Can I just say more American in the pejorative sense is the most British thing I've ever heard anyone say?
Exactly.
Well, I realize you've created an editorially sort of this cacophony, so it's important you hear better accounts. Uh-huh. And the better account is that the evidence is clear that constitutional monarchs protect democracy by fostering consensus. We're in the middle of a democratic recession. Democracies are falling into autocracies. And part of that is we have a winner-takes-all partisan politics where no quarter is given. And when one side wins, they essentially annihilate or erase the other side. Monarchs prevent that. Monarchs are vehicles for peace and understanding. And if you create a republic, you do what republics do, which is engage in the end in mass killing, which is what the
None
history of
that
of republics
is true.
Tell us.
It, None of what you just you said,
the history
is true.
Of the British monarchy.
Not a single word.
All right, Shola, I want to bring in this will be the last chance we hear from our YouTube audience, and then I'll come to you, Shola, okay? So this is from Wonder Amaiti, The Real Deal, Aman Rashan, and Caitlin O'Shea. One says, in the modern world, monarchism is irrelevant to society. Monarchies are like demigods, not answerable to the courts of law. They don't pay taxes. The Real Deal says they should start by selling that billion-dollar crown and returning the proceeds to Africa and India. Anam says the Brits looted all the resources of Greater India and divided us in many parts just for their interest. Caitlin O'Shea says it wasn't just anti-blackness. It was anti-anyone not British. The saying beyond the pale was coined against the Irish who weren't acquiescing to British rule. Shola.
Okay, first of all, Philip, it seems to me you're suffering from selective amnesia. There is no way on God's earth that the monarch in any way...
It's called
prevents,
reading.
What was it that you referred to it as? Countries descending into some kind of extremism.
Yeah, look at the history of France.
Because
look
there
at
are
the
two
history
parts
of Russia. Look at contemporary
finish,
Arabia.
I listen to you listen
but
to
obviously
me.
You don't.
All right. And I listened to what you had to say, and I'm telling you, you're absolutely wrong. All the monarchy does, the only thing that the monarchy is good at, and I mean the British monarchy, is to survive. So it is irrespective of whatever political
Why?
Party we
Why
put
in,
we
Why
put democratically.
Why is it popular?
The point
You've
is
no
that
idea.
The monarchy sits
you
on top of that,
to
so that no matter who comes in, the monarchy
hold on,
still
Philip.
Rakes in.
I haven't dealt with any
Philip,
of
Philip, hold on, hold on.
Global reality.
No matter
Not
who
even an
we vote in, democratically, whether it's conservative, whether it's a Labour or Liberal Democrat, whoever it is, the monarchy will always sit at the top. They do nothing to really change the process. And while they sit at the top, all they care about is their survival. That's the only thing they're good at. And while they're there, they amass political power, they amass economic power. That is all they've been doing for the last 70
like
years during
Queen
Elizabeth II's reign. So what you're saying is absolutely, unequivocally, totally wrong.
And on that note, we will end the stream today, Philip. I want to thank you, Philip, and Paul, and Shola for being with us. Whether you like it or not, the monarchy will continue, and we'll be watching it continue here from Al Jazeera English. Thank you for joining us today on the stream. We'll see you next time.